We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nothing but nonstop hustle all the time. Work, family, friends, a million pressing social issues, and an expectation to be on 24/7, sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit the reset button. That's when you reach for an ice-cold Coors Light, the beer that's made to chill. Listen, there's a lot going on in Green Bay right now, and I feel like we could all use a moment to chill with a Coors Light. See, Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's literally made to chill. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. Coors Light is what I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in their all-new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. The crew is back together again. I'm Steve Perhatch, joined as always by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher. The draft recaps are over. We are back. And, you know, guys, I don't think we have anything to talk about. I mean, we could probably wrap this up in about 10, 15 minutes. What do you think, Sarah? I mean, not a lot going on, right?
Yeah, I mean, nothing's happened in the last 5 weeks since we stopped podcasting for a bit. So, you know, glad everybody could take care of that and we could, you know, enjoy some time off, but just nothing to worry about. I mean, no news, right? Right? Unless I missed something.
No, I mean, I'm good. Dusty, what about you?
Yeah, I've really enjoyed how quiet and calm it's been over the past 5 weeks. It was like the draft day itself was, I was really calm the whole day because like nothing happened, you know, on noon of draft day or anything. So like, cool. And I got to enjoy all of the draft without anything nagging in the back of my brain, which I thought was awesome. And the draft was done. It was like, cool, I can go back to normal life and not, and just because it's, what are the draft picks going to do? That's all that was on my mind because nothing else was going on. It's been really nice. Really nice.
How was everybody's vacation, time away from the podcasting? Did you enjoy your time away, Dusty?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, before we left, we talked about, like, what are you going to do with your time? And I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Yeah, most of the time I worked. It's been really busy at work, so I just worked the vast majority of the time. So I one of the things I wanted to do, I was like, I've got an unopened copy of the Avengers video game for PS4. It's still not opened. I did not get a chance to open that. So, yeah, I mean, it was, you know, it was nice having all my evenings free. But, yeah, I didn't really do anything but work. I would have rather been talking to you guys, really.
Sarah, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I really just did nothing. Like, I would just watch TV or read or, you know, do laundry or something really boring. And it's like you said, Dusty, it's just more fun to talk to you guys than just sit there and do nothing. So I'm glad that we're back because I definitely missed it. And, like, I thought it was funny because a couple people DM'd me too right after the draft, and they were like, yay, you guys are back next week. And I'm like, no, it's one more week. Like, we all kind of thought the same thing, and then we checked the calendar and the schedule, and we're like, oh man, one more week. Like, because you know, I know we were joking and said nothing happened, but so much has happened where it like would have been so fun to just be able to hop on and talk about it and joke with you guys, joke through the pain and craziness. So yeah, it's good to be back.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously is great. It's a lot of fun for us to get back together. I mean, it's already, we spent the first half hour of our meeting of just catching up with each other and seeing what's going on with everybody. So it's good to be back. But I mean, we do have to give a shout out to the entire crew that did and ran Pack-A-Day Podcast for the last 5-6 weeks of all the draft coverage of everything they did. It was great content, and as always, run by Andy and everybody else. So that was a lot of great content that they put out. Hopefully you guys were downloading that stuff. If you can, as always, give us, you know, the 5-star reviews and things like that through whoever you subscribe with. But again, like that team put together some great content. Dusty, I'm much along the same lines of you, where I had grand ambitions and it was, you know, all of a sudden, like late at night after and working the whole day and taking care of the kids, and all of a sudden it's 8:30, 9 o'clock. I'm like, I'm tired. I don't want to do the things, the extra work that I was thinking about. So it was just nice. It was nice. It was relaxing. You know, I've been doing a lot more cooking and stuff like that on the weekends with the smoker, and you know, trying out new recipes and stuff like that. So been having a lot of fun doing that. But let's jump in, because there's a lot of stuff for us to cover since everybody since we've been missing MIA for 5 weeks. So, you know, let's start with the fun part. Tell me, what's your reaction to Tim Tebow coming back to the league, guys?
Oh man.
Purposely didn't say anything about it because I wanted a good reaction. I knew this was my plan the whole time.
When that happened, it was like, oh, okay, this will be that one weird draft news for the day. And then like an hour later, it was like, oh, just kidding. Just kidding. So.
All right. Well, let's, since we haven't talked to people, let's just do a quick recap. Like, Rodgers news aside, what did you actually think of the draft? Like, how did you think the Packers did? Obviously, Rodgers, you know, was a huge storyline, but outside of that kind of stuff, Dusty, where did you lie? Like, did you like what they did? Were there things you didn't understand? What was your overall takeaway?
Yeah, I really liked it, man. I mean, you know, you get your heart set on a couple prospects, especially early prospects, and then they never take them and you get your heart broken. So, I mean, you know, I had Greg Newsom on my list as like guys I wanted, and he went before the Packers could get him. And so that was kind of sad, but I really liked the pick of Stokes. I got a chance to write a piece on him for Cheesehead TV and kind of got to dig into some of his stuff, some of his film a little, which was, I mean, really good. I mean, there's certainly things to work on there, but with that speed and his size and all of that, like all the stuff he brings to the table, like really intriguing guy. I really, really like that pick. Myers is a guy that seems like could step in from day one. And then, you know, Amari Rodgers. Okay. I'm so excited about Amari Rodgers, man. So excited about Amari Rodgers. But yeah, I mean, there's, and then, you know, past that, I mean, the fourth round on, I mean, it's a mix of intriguing kind of prospect guys, guys that maybe could grow to something, and kind of some lottery ticket guys. Yeah. Overall, I mean, I don't know. I've seen, you know, conflicting grades, which there's always going to be conflicting grades. I thought they nailed it. I really like the guys on draft, especially at first three rounds. I thought it was a really nice mix, I thought, of guys that positions that they needed without having to reach for those guys. I really thought they did a very good job of that. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see what they do. But I think they did a really good draft, I thought.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way I like to describe it, and when people have asked me this question in the last couple of weeks, is on paper, it doesn't look like the sexiest draft ever, right, for the Packers. Like, you're like, okay, cool. But if you analyze it and you look at what positions of needs were, you know, where were areas that the Packers could improve, I think that they nailed it. They drafted players in positions of need that, you know, have the skill set, and, you know, players like Amari Rodgers who would fit perfect in this offense. Like, I really just thought that they did a good job of finding the right players with the right fit for the positions that they needed. So, yeah, I'm excited about it, and glad that they drafted a wide receiver so everyone can shut up about that. I mean, I know it wasn't in the first round, but hey, that's okay.
I just leaned forward because I was about to say,
I saw Steve like starting to lean forward, and it was like, I'm just going to beat him to saying this. But yeah, I liked it. It was fun. I mean, the first night felt just so – I was so anxious because usually, you know, I don't ever watch like the whole first night because it's so slow and it takes forever, right? But it was like, oh, they might, you know, trade with the Broncos at 9 and Aaron Rodgers could be in the trade, or they could trade up and all this was going to happen. So I felt like I had to watch every single pick because I couldn't miss or walk away. And I knew if I did step away, then something would happen. So it was more stressful than I would have liked. And at the end, like seeing who they got and where they got them, I'm like, really? I was so stressed and they still got the job done. So
it was really interesting. Like, I like the draft because I feel like there are people that can contribute right away. I think they got a lot of people that can contribute right away. There's going to be some special teamers. There's going to be, you know, some backups on the offensive line. But I mean, top three picks, you have people that are going to most likely step in and play week one. And that is something that the Packers did not have at all last year. And so, yeah, I think that's exciting. And I think Stokes learning from Jair, I think that's going to be a huge upgrade, you know, being able to study with him and pick up a lot of the things that make him a shutdown guy. I think that's a, you know, a 4-2-5 guy is nothing to sneeze at cornerback. So especially learning from one of the best in the league, that's going to be just hopefully a dynamic duo on the outside for the Packers, which, you know, just makes that pass rush even better. So, and overall, like, I enjoyed it. Sarah and I watched the first round together, so that was a lot of fun. We tried to get Dusty involved, but he politely declined us, which you know, hurt some feelings and stuff. So yeah, we haven't talked to him until tonight. But you know, it happens with the best of us. So overall, though, I enjoyed it. Like, I'm glad that Rodgers did not get traded on draft night. I did not fully anticipate that would happen, but you know, guys, it's time. Let's do some reactions to Aaron Rodgers, the drama, the saga, the I don't know what you call it. I'm tired of this stuff already. But Sarah, let's start with you. Like, what are you thinking? What's going on with Aaron Rodgers? How does this whole situation end?
I have no idea. And I don't think anyone does.
Okay, Dusty, let's start with you then. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, it has just been a crazy couple of weeks, and we hear one thing and then we hear another, and it's like, which one is true? Is the truth, you know, somewhere in the middle? My perspective, and you know, if I had to, you know, say this is exactly what I think is happening, I think that there's obviously some lack of communication that's occurred between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And because of that, Aaron Rodgers isn't as happy as he could or maybe should be. And he wants to fix that. I don't think it's as blown up as everyone, you know, has made it. I don't think it's a thing where I saw there's like a report that he was texting people saying that Brian Gutekunst was Jerry Krause. Like, I don't know if it's that level of heated, but I do think like you have two guys in the room that want two different things and they're trying to meet in the middle, basically. And Rodgers threw their timeline off, I think, by a lot, basically coming in the last year and having an MVP season. So if I had to guess, I think, you know, maybe he's in Green Bay for another year and then he could get traded after that. Or, you know, after June 1, which if you've been following along and reading everything out there, that the Packers would be able to trade him and, you know, clear up a little bit more cap space and not lose as much. So if he does go, it won't, in my opinion, it won't be until then. But I do think he's going to stay. I think they're going to work it out, at least, you know, in the short term. And he'll stay. It seems like the players really want him to stay too. So I don't think, you know, it's like a culture thing in the locker room. It's strictly just between him and the front office. So we'll see. I really hope they work it out, because when I see the, you know, the pieces that they've put together over the last couple of years and now, you know, drafting some more key pieces, Aaron Rodgers is a part of that puzzle. It's really exciting. And I think there are legitimate chances at a Super Bowl run, so we'll see. You know, the Aaron Rodgers fan in me is like, please stay, but the Packers fan in me is like, I don't know what's best. And at the end of the day, like, that's who I'm going to stick with. I'm going to, you know, root for the Packers. So we'll see. But it has been tough to kind of watch everything unravel the way it has.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Sarah. I mean, it's been like draft night was like, well, I was watching because one of the rumors too was maybe the Niners who had traded up to three. Maybe they trade that third overall, and I was like, oh man, if this happens, all right, if they don't like Love, they can grab Trey Lance, they can do this, they can do that. And then so it was like you said, every single pick was just waiting for like the trade graphic to pop up and be like, Aaron Rodgers is gone. So it went from there. I mean, that day of the draft was like a Rodgers isn't coming back. And then from there it escalated. Rodgers is absolutely not coming back, and also he wants Gutekunst fired. And like things for me changed a little bit in terms of like how this situation reads the Schefter on Dan Patrick show, where he was like, no, there wasn't a source here. This was an accumulation of information. Because it's still not good. Obviously, I mean, all the stuff you said, Sarah, obviously there's still not a great relationship between Rodgers and the front office. But it also is not like it didn't suddenly come to a head and then he's like, I want out. This is just it feels like a lot of this feels like a game of telephone, where it's secondhand information passed along, and it's, well, now Rodgers wants to murder everyone in the front office. Like it goes from Rodgers like, well, I'm kind of unhappy they drafted Jordan Love, to like, no, it's something we need to put the call out for his head because he's coming to the office and he's going to stab everyone. Like it feels like that's a little extreme, but that's how this, it kind of feels. It feels like something that kind of got escalated due to, you know, maybe some miscommunication or people interpreting, say someone saying one thing as another thing. Like it's very, very strange. But yeah, it's at this point, until it's resolved, until it's okay, he is traded, or until, hey, we have signed this big deal and he comes back and says, I'm very happy, I've signed this big deal, I'm not trusting a single thing anyone says. There are 1,000 things going on behind closed doors that we will likely never be privy to. So yeah, where I'm at now is kind of the same way you are, Sarah. It's a, listen, I want Rodgers back because he's one of my all-time favorite Packers. And, you know, he won the MVP last year. Their Super Bowl window is open with this team in place as long as he's there. And I hope he sticks around. And then on the flip side, he's probably got another 3 to 4 years really good left in him. And that seems a little optimistic even, given some of his injuries and his age and all of that. And so, okay, the two scenarios in my head is he comes back and has another 2 to 3 really good years and you have a shot at a Super Bowl. And then maybe Jordan Love's gone and maybe you got to kind of restart things when he's done. Or he gets traded and you've got a haul to build around this young quarterback, or grab another quarterback if it turns out Love is not the dude. So honestly, at this point, I'm kind of watching, but I don't particularly care one way or another. I'm just kind of, we'll see how this shakes out, but I'm not, at this point, I'm kind of not invested in either side. I don't know. It's been interesting and wild. Every day is a new fresh hell.
Something I meant to say before that I forgot, and what you alluded to there just reminded me of it, was, you know, the good old saying that there's three sides to every story instead of two. Like, and that's this situation in a nutshell, right? Like, there's the Packers side of this, that they want Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback for their foreseeable future, whatever that means. And then Aaron Rodgers is like, well, I want, you know, these things where I'm not getting this from you and you're not communicating. And so we have those two sides, and then the truth actually lies somewhere in the middle. And like you said, Dusty, we're never probably going to be privy to that information. Maybe in like 10 years when there's a 30 for 30 or something about this and all of it comes out. But at least, you know, for the short term, regardless of if he's traded or if he stays with the Packers, we'll never really know what went down in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. I'm just over it. I'm so over this whole like crap. Like this was Aaron Rodgers' camp. Well, maybe this wasn't Aaron Rodgers' camp. We're not sure. Maybe this was the Packers' front office. Who do you think leaked this? Like this only could have come from Aaron Rodgers and his camp. And I'm like legit done with all of it. It annoys the ever loving crap out of me that the guy that is making, you know, second, like the most, the highest cap hit in the NFL this year, I believe. And he is, you know, kind of complaining about all this stuff. And sure, the Packers front office plays some blame in all of this stuff about how they handled things. And, you know, they didn't consult Aaron Rodgers when they were going to draft Jordan Love and blah, blah, blah. It's just, it blows my mind how a kid's game gets blown out of proportion into all of these egos and all of these things, and I'm the smartest person in the room, and it just it's crazy, because I don't think he's going anywhere. I really don't. I still can't wrap my head around the fact that they would end up trading him and having to pay money onto their salary cap for Aaron Rodgers to be throwing touchdowns for another team. That I still, that's the thing I can't wrap my head around. No way, no how. I feel like what they will do is play a game of chicken with him. And they will say, look, here's the shiny new contract that you do want. If you don't want that, you can retire. And we'll like, it's not our plan to go to Jordan right now, but if you're going to force this, this is on you, buddy. This isn't us. You're the one making this decision. And so, like, I feel like there's a way for the Packers to, you know, do that if he's going to say that I have to be traded. So it's just going to be, it's going to be insanity until June 1st. And like, even then, if he's not traded on June 1st, then it, like, it's going to be the storyline for the whole NFL season. So
we can't escape it. It's
no.
Like last year it was that they drafted a quarterback instead of a wide receiver, and they talked about that all year long.
That and the relationship with him and LaFleur was always the mm-hmm. topic conversation.
Yeah. And then they talk about it, you know, all that was really almost the year before it really dominated the news cycle. It was like in every single broadcast. And then this year it was the wide receiver and the quarterback thing. And now, or last year, sorry. And then this year it'll be,
I cannot wait until they have the zoomed in pictures of Rodgers after like a botched call in, or, you know, he has to call a timeout and he's mad. Like, oh man, he's probably going to be on the phone with his agent after this.
There's going to be a stupid cartoon animated drawing of him as like some super villain. You know how they always put like those animated drawings up on CBS and
I'm in for it, man. Just give me the insanity. Like if that's what it comes to, if he's playing and they're just putting up graphics and talking about that stuff, man, I don't care. I don't care.
As long as they give him the super mega muscles that he had this last year, like all those quarterbacks, like from like the Fox,
they got like the NFL drawings,
they were like, dude, like those are some big muscles.
It's NFL blitz bodies. Just
pretty much,
really,
yeah.
They all looked like DK Metcalf. It was crazy.
Like, all right, so I think we're all aligned that this whole situation sucks. It's going to go on forever, and we're never going to escape it until he is either A, retired, B, traded, or C, it's just going to go on until, you know, Jordan Love takes over eventually.
The people that are listening to this are probably just so glad that we came back with all that positivity. We're like, well, this is a situation, you're stuck with it, so get used to it.
I will say this, the one like ray of sunshine that I have is that normally right now we are struggling for content.
Yeah.
There is nothing to freaking talk about. We are going to have stuff to talk about all off season. It's going to be great.
Sitting on a gold mine, man. I don't know if you saw this. Tyler Herrick, who runs the Cheesehead TV Twitter account, one of his things is like tracking planes, and he tracked down the because they said, like, you know, LaFleur and Gutekunst and Murphy going to visit Rodgers. And I think he tracked it to where he believes that they visit him in Florida during the Disney World pictures. And he had the tail numbers and all that stuff. Like, that's the level of Rodgers watch insanity we're currently on. And like, I love that there's just that amount of insanity out there. Like, just
was my invite, Packers? I literally could have drove and been there. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. They need to let you know, man.
We could have included that in a new contract that he has to make like a monthly appearance on the Pack-A-Day Watch.
That's right.
And it does crack me up that Rodgers could end all of this. And, you know, like, I feel like he's like sitting in his apartment or his house with Shaylin or whatever, you know, drinking a four fingers of scotch and like laughing his ass off. Like, this is genuinely cracking him up, because he knows he could end all of this with one interview, with one tweet, with one whatever, you know, statement. And he's just like, meh. Oh, dude. And it's just so Rodgers. That's exactly the way that he would play it out. So, all right. Well, we've got questions from Twitter, and there's a couple of Rodgers stuff in there. So we're just going to jump in. First one is from Sam. Where do you think the Packers secondary ranks among NFL teams?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Right now. And if Stokes turns out to be a good pick, could it become the best in the NFL? Sarah, where do you stand on the Packers secondary?
So I think right now they're like probably smack in the middle of the pack. If they didn't have Jarier, they would be like at the bottom. I think he's pushing them up significantly on that list. And if Stokes, you know, works out and he's great, which I have a really good feeling that he will be, I think, you know, they might creep into the top 10 or be on the edge, maybe 11 or 12. So move up a few spots. I don't think, you know, they'll be one of the best, but I think they'll have, you know, two solid guys there in the secondary. And then, you know, Amos can support there and Savage as well. So I think they'll have a really good group. I don't know if it'll be the best, but it certainly could improve, and I think it will.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
Yeah, I think that the until it's addressed, and who knows, I really like that their fifth round pick, that Shamar Jean Charles, as far as maybe that slot corner. But that I think that's a potential area of weakness. But yeah, if Stokes shakes out, man, and he's like, he has the potential to be a lockdown guy on the outside, and it's two potential lockdown guys on the outside with an ascending Savage and a very solid Amos. That's a really amazingly good secondary. Like, a really good secondary. I mean, the slot, again, slot could be problems, but, like, honestly, who cares? if your biggest problem is a slot guy because you've got, like, shut down guys and two solid safeties on the back end, that's a perfectly fine problem to have. So, I mean, I think if it shakes and he and Stokes becomes his potential, hopefully sooner rather than later, like Sarah said, top five. I mean, maybe, listen, if you want to be optimistic, you can say that's top one. Top one, top two, if everything shakes. I don't think it's going to that early, but I mean, potentially a very, very good secondary for sure.
Yeah, a couple years down the road, if Stokes shakes out, that again, like that's yeah. a number one tandem right there of Jair and Stokes as your two lockdowns on the outside, which is a very rare thing to have in the NFL. But you guys kind of broke down right now, they're probably in the middle. Cornerback two is shaky at best. Kevin King has good games, he has bad games, and he's back for 1 year. And Chandon Sullivan, again, some good games, some bad games. So it'll be interesting. They'll have a lot to play with within the first half of the season to try to figure out where they're going to sit. But overall, it's a good group. It's not a great group at the minute. And if Darnell Savage continues ascending, if Adrian Amos, you know, is that plateau, that mainstay, that rock in the back, you know, it's a good group. But Stokes and what they do at slot, like Dusty said, that's gonna determine a lot of how that secondary plays. So, but very good question from Sam, and you know, hopefully the Packers do figure out some stuff on the cornerback group. So. Next up, Matt Pickett's our good friend. We've heard conflicting news leaks and speculations and reports from a number of named and unnamed sources from the Rodgers situation. At this point, who would you be most likely to believe outside of Aaron Rodgers himself? And the food question is, your what is your favorite burger topping? Dusty, let's start with you.
I don't believe anybody. I don't believe a single person. I mean, Sarah said the thing about the three sides to every story. Yeah, that's true. I mean, whatever. Listen, man. I mean, and I said this a couple weeks ago. Like, whatever comes out, it's always look at it through the lens of. It's almost like follow the money. Look at it through the lens of, okay, where did this likely come from and who benefits and who is hurt by this bit of information? So some of the leaks, that's some of it. But now if someone were to come out, like, honest to God, who's going to come out and say anything that is like a declarative statement that you're absolutely going to believe? You know, Murphy is like, well, we want him back. Gutekunst said, you know, we want him back. Would be dumb to trade him. They've already made all that stuff. They probably do not want to trade him. But if they come out again and say like, yeah, we're not looking to trade him, I'm not going to take that at face value because I assume there's games going on in the background. Aaron Rodgers could come out and say, I want to be back in Green Bay. We're working on something now. Until there's pen to paper, until something actually happens, I'm not going to believe a single word anyone says. I believe that the truth lies somewhere behind the words, and there's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, one of the reasons I think Rodgers hasn't really said much is because there's potentially something in the works that he just doesn't really want to talk about. He doesn't want to jeopardize some of that stuff, or he doesn't want to throw any more smoke in the fire that maybe he hopes some of this stuff goes away. Whatever anyone says at this point, and I don't particularly care who it is, I won't trust it. It's just you're looking at, okay, what could potentially be going on? And like we said, realistically, there's stuff behind the scenes going on we're never going to know. And it doesn't matter what they say. So, yeah, I don't trust a single person.
Yeah, it's hard. I think, you know, if I had to give a solid answer of this is the news that, at least from a national perspective, that you should be following with, my kind of go-to person, typically, not even just for this, but especially now, has been Ian Rappaport. I think he's pretty fair in reporting and what he does. So, you know, if you need someone to go to, he has a lot of the information and just kind of says, this is what we know, and lays it all out there in a very comprehensive and, you know, easy way to understand. So that would be, you know, if I had to give someone, I would throw his name in the mix. But yeah, it's tough. A lot of he said, she said, and you know, we don't know the truth. I really hope one day Aaron Rodgers will speak up and tell us, you know, what happened. You know, whether it's, you know, he goes on Pat McAfee show and says, okay, I'm going to spill the beans. I don't really know, but, you know, I'd love to find out.
Guys, this is some rust for us, guys, because neither of you answered the food question.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Favorite burger topic. Oh, come on.
For me, I mean, if I go to Five Guys, I get their bacon because it's and if I'm going to get bacon, I want it like crispy. And what Five Guys does so well, it's always perfectly crispy, but it's also chopped up into little bites. It's the perfect bacon. So that and like a little A1 sauce or something, give me like some, if I'm getting fancy, give me some grilled onions, maybe some jalapenos or something, you know, something real nice. But if I can get one, I'm doing bacon, but it's got to be like very, very crispy bacon.
I was gonna say
A1 sauce.
Yeah, put some of that on the burger. Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, we're not talking about fancy ribeye here, man. I'm talking about a hamburger. Put a little A1 on your burger. Now, if you want to really do it up, Steve, what you do, you get some buffalo sauce and you put that buffalo sauce on the burger. You get some spicy garlic. Put that sucker on there as like your condiment
into the meat or on top?
No, on top. Like instead of like ketchup or mustard, you put some spicy garlic on top. That's money. I've been doing that.
I'm intrigued by that. The A1 sauce, I'm all out on. I think that stuff is trash.
If you don't like A1, you won't like it. But I like it just fine. Yeah, do some spicy garlic on it. It's it's good money, Steve.
Okay.
I would agree with you, Dusty, and I would go with bacon as well because there are other toppings that, you know, I would put on a burger. But that's like the one that always does it for me. Like I'm like, yes, that was really good. And I mean, that's like with any sandwich. Like I make like a turkey sandwich for lunch and I eat it and I'm like, ugh. But then the next day I make the same sandwich and I put bacon on it and I'm like, oh, it's so good. So I really think it could apply to any sandwich, not, you know, just even like hamburgers or anything like that, wraps, all that whole family. Just slap some bacon on there.
Yeah, you never can really go wrong with bacon. As far as who do I trust within the media, within all this Rodgers situation, I'm with you guys. I don't really trust anybody. I don't, especially after all the Schefter stuff came out, that there was no, like, you know, breaking news, no, like, story from anybody. It was just an accumulation, and that we decided that this was the best time to release a story. Like, okay. Okay, this is great. I really don't, like Dusty said, until there is actually a contract extension signed or whatever, I'm not going to believe anything. And I will go on record saying I think it would be a huge mistake to make Aaron Rodgers the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I really think that he's got 3 years on his deal. He is one of the highest paid players in the NFL, and you should be able to leave it at that. And if he doesn't want to play for that, that's okay. Then he can retire and he can go on to do whatever he wants to do after this and host Jeopardy or have the beautiful experience of his life with Shaylin or do whatever he needs to do. That's okay. But he's already being paid unbelievably well. He's going to be 38 years old this season. And yeah, when you got 3 years left on a deal that pays you that much money, I don't think you need to be extended. I think you should continue to play at the contract that you signed. So that's me just thinking out loud. As far as a favorite burger topping, I was telling these guys that I just had a burger that was the hangover burger. Normally, I would say fried egg is that's always my go-to. Like, I need to have that on the burger at all times. And then you combo it with bacon is amazing. And then I was at a restaurant this past weekend that did a cheesy hash brown with those two things as well. And holy God, it was amazing. My wife doesn't even like burgers all that much. And I was, after my first bite, I was like, whoa, gave her a bite. And she's like, yeah, you chose correct. Like that was the winner for the meal. So bacon's always good, fried egg, but my winner this time was cheesy hash brown. So, next up, Mark Wellner wants to know, an undrafted guy with the best chance to stick, Uphoff is the easy answer here, but I'm going to go Gaither. So, Sarah and I both kind of have not really gone into the undrafted free agents too much. So, Dusty, I know you've done a little, a little. So who's your guy you're thinking about?
I've got a guy for a few reasons. It's Coy Kronk. Coy Kronk. Now, part of that is his name. His name's cool.
Is that like the Emperor Got a New Groove Kronk? Or well, Kronk?
So what it sounds like to me, I don't know if you guys watch the sketch comedy show I Think You Should Leave on Netflix, but there's a skit where this guy is doing charades and all he talks about is old jazz guys. And one of the guys he talks about is Roy Donk, and he's mad that no one knows who Roy Donk is. So Coy Kronk sounds like Roy Donk, king of the tuck tuck sound. The second one, also name related, he's from Iowa. I can hear him saying Coy Kronk, Iowa, and it seems like that'd be perfect. And the third one, I mean, he seems like he could be a solid player. He had had injuries, I think, his junior year that kind of knocked him out a little bit, and then he opted out this past year due to COVID concerns. But he did, I mean, he by all accounts looked really good when he was out there. The injury concerns are something of a risk there, but seems like he could turn into a solid guy. So name stuff aside, it seems like, you know, the Packers are going to lean towards offensive line depth. That is an area I could see, you know, a couple guys kind of going in and out of. So for me, for multiple reasons, Coy Kronk, guy you should keep an eye on.
No, I like it. Good to know. We will keep an eye. And my whole thought is, I want to see some training camp. I want to see some pregame, like some preseason stuff like that before it's the Packers. They're most likely going to keep an undrafted free agent or several of them. So keep an eye on those for sure. But until I see a little bit of or read some more information on a lot of these guys, my guess will be as best as anybody else is listening. So. All right, now we're getting into the good stuff. Keith Keshkin, sorry, my bad for butchering your last name, but please share every thought and reaction to the recent MCU sizzle reel for Phase 4. I'd like to hear thoughts on clips and what you think of the important title reveals and what you expect the titles mean for the films themselves. Man, this is going to be like a whole separate podcast on the MCU. And so I will say this before we even start. If you really have these questions, DM Sarah and Dusty, because we were talking about these things prior to, and I was like, I hadn't even seen the sizzle reel. And then secondly, I was like, we were talking about Black Panther, and I was like, oh, I wonder if it's this guy. And they're like, no, that dude died. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So they clearly know way more than I do about this.
Yeah,
so.
He thought he didn't know that Michael B. Jordan's character.
I saw Black Panther
no
once
in the universe. So he was like, what if, he, like, because obviously, since Chadwick sadly passed away, the question
who would be, who would be Black Panther? He's not dead. He can like, still
Michael
be alive.
Jordan can do it. And we were like, no, that
was. You saw a clip of him in the sizzle reel. So
Killmonger was gutted, I think, Steve.
Nah, he's coming back. Don't
Anyways,
worry.
This was a fantastic question. And.
Here, wait, hold on. Just let me get mine out of the way so you guys can go all crazy.
Say, I just
crazy fanboy, fangirl stuff on top of it. So I'm very excited to see the new Spider-Man ones. I think Tom Holland is awesome in those. I think he's I love all the Spider-Man ones. And then Guardians of the Galaxy, like those, the first two, I've loved those, and I'm excited there's a third one. And that's what got my wife like into the whole MCU universe kind of thing. So we've been able to start watching some of those movies together. So the third one is going to be super cool. So excited for those. So, all right, now you guys can take it away.
Go ahead, Sarah.
So, okay. So first of all, my reaction to the recent MCU video, I thought it was awesome. It dropped just randomly on like a Tuesday morning, and I wasn't ready emotionally for that, but it was fine. It kind of helped with all the Rogers stuff going on. It was like, oh, news that I like, and that's good news. Like, give it to me. So the video was epic. If you haven't seen it already, definitely go check it out. A lot of exciting stuff in there. And then honestly, there are projects that maybe like they're in phase 5, but I could have sworn that they were in phase 4 that weren't even included in the video. Like Blade and like all of these other ones. I know Secret Invasion. And I saw that one of the Falcon and the Winter Soldier writers said the other day, he was like, I'm shocked at how many projects Marvel still hasn't announced, because like these things are happening so quickly. So I thought the video was super cool. As far as the title reveals, the one that I thought was interesting was the Marvels, just because that kind of implied that there's going to be, in the next Captain Marvel movie, it'll be Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, and then we've already heard that Monica Rambeau will be in that one as well. So I'm like, cool, love that. And so that's kind of what I expect from that. And then the one that I'm most excited for, I think it would be a tie between Spider-Man as well. I mean, those, it's just like Spider-Man is a classic. You get so excited. I also love it because like those heroes are like younger, and they kind of throw like comedy in it, and it's always good. And then tied with that would be Doctor Strange, just because I think that's going to be absolutely bananas, and like Scarlet Witch is going to be in it, and it's just going to be over the top crazy. Like they were filming in London for months, and it was like, so they, nothing leaked. And you know, usually every now and then like a set photo or something leaks, but it was so secure. So, you know, obviously they're doing their best to hide everything. And that means there was like Benedict Cumberbatch, who plays Doctor Strange, was on a talk show, and he couldn't show his face because it had something to do with like how his character was going to look in the movie. So I'm excited for those two. I think they're going to be crazy.
Yeah, I thought the sizzle reel was great. You know, kicked off with Stan Lee talking. That gets you a little misty. And then at the end was the see at the movies. And just, oh, God, the movie theater. I missed it. So, yeah, sizzle reel was great. And the ones I'm most excited about, I mean, Doctor Strange is certainly up there. So that was originally supposed to be Scott Derrickson. And he was going, like, apparently hard horror with that one. And then he was removed from the project. And it's like, oh, crap, they're going to tone it down a little. And then they brought on Sam Raimi. And I mean, if you know me, I'm a big horror guy. You know, Raimi, you know, obviously has a foot in the superhero world with the original Spider-Man movies. But, you know, he came up, he cut his teeth doing the Evil Dead series and Drag Me to Hell. Like, he has very strong horror cred and also some superhero cred in there as well. And so Sam Raimi, with his kind of manic comedy horror style. Really, really, really excited to see Doctor Strange. That's my number one. And number two is just Black Widow, because I was super excited to watch that last year, and it keeps getting pushed. And so that's the next one coming up. That's July. And so just actually seeing a date that will hopefully, likely, not get moved, and seeing that cast, I mean, beyond you know, Scarlett Johansson, and getting that actual Black Widow movie. You got David Harbour, you got Florence Pugh, Rachel Weisz, like just tremendous cast. It looks like it's going to be a ton of fun. And so I'm man, super hyped for that. It's going to be a good run. Can't wait.
And side note, when you said, what was it? The dude from Black Widow that's also in Stranger Things.
David Harbour, yeah.
Yeah, and they were just the teaser trailer of Stranger Things that came out this week. I was like, dude, this looks amazing.
Yeah,
there's many shows.
Drop it immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
Drop it immediately.
I have made a list of all like the shows, you know, the series, movies that are coming out still in 2021. And I'm like, I'm going to have no life. Like, that's all I'm going to do.
COVID wins again. All right, next up, Sam Hollman. Who is this year's draft and undrafted free agent class do you think could make the most impact this year? Besides the obvious ones of Stokes, Myers, and Rogers, also, have you tried a burger with peanut butter and mayo as toppings?
Ew.
It's together? Good. It's good, really. If so, what are your thoughts? So,
Hold on. I don't want to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
The fact it just no.
But I'm gonna do it.
The fact that Sam, I need to know why this is good, because the fact that you had to follow up with it with "it's good" really just makes it doesn't convince me. Like, it really just makes me think it is as bad as it kind of sounds. So that I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know how I feel. Yeah.
And then who's your draft class that's going to who's going to make the biggest impact out of the draft class?
And I can't pick the first three?
You can. That was part of his question.
I'm going to pick the first.
You stole my answer.
I think it's going to be Amari Rodgers. It just seems like he's the one little piece that they were maybe missing that they could spice things up with. Even more on the offensive side of things. So I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, my draft guy outside of the three, because I answer the questions that are asked.
No, how they're asked. Congratulations.
I mentioned him earlier, but I really like Shamar Jean Charles. He's you know, cornerback out of Appalachian State. Small guy. I think he's 190 pounds or something, so like not a big dude. And not like he didn't grade super well in his RAS. I think he was like 4.27 or something, so like not super twitchy for kind of what you're looking for out of there. But I think based on, you know, if Joe Barry brings this Brandon Staley defense, which I assume that he will, your slot corner needs to do a very good job with some of the pattern match stuff, which is, you know, recognizing some of the breaks in front of you and knowing what the assignment is and passing those off. And the slot cornerback has a lot to do with some of the success in that. And then beyond that, if they are going to do some of the light box stuff, that two high safeties with, you know, a five-man line and maybe one linebacker to entice people to run, it's huge on that slot corner to be able to fill as a kind of trigger down on the run game in the event of a run, because you're going to have likely holes in the offensive line. And he's a guy, I mean, he recognizes stuff. He's smart. He's very good at passing off his routes. And he's also a very willing tackler and triggers down really nicely on the run. So, yeah, I don't know. He's not going to be a day one guy, you know, likely a special teamer. And again, he is pretty small, but he's a guy I could see fitting really well into this Joe Barry defense. As far as Mayo, peanut butter and mayonnaise on a burger, like I respect myself, so no, I've never had that. I will say that I kept reading about, like, because I do grilled cheese sandwiches quite a bit. I heard that I kept hearing you put mayonnaise instead of butter on the bread of a grilled cheese sandwich. It's amazing. So I did it, and it was terrible. It was real, real bad. So if you tell me anything, put mayonnaise and you mix it with this, you can miss me with that, because I've been fooled before and recently. So no, I'm not. I've done peanut butter and jelly on a burger before. Like I've done that in like a kind of a, you know, a mix or something, and that's been perfectly fine. But I mean, no, I'm not adding mayonnaise to that equation.
I got excited about the mayonnaise on the grilled cheese because I've heard really good things about that too, but I've never tried it. So I'm like, oh, great. Like Dusty has feedback, but then you were like, it sucked. So
shit, my wife like nearly threw it back in my face when I had her try it. She was like, why did you do this? Make one with the butter. Like she was livid that I made her try that. Livid.
I wish I could have seen that. That would have made me laugh. Have you ever done a, like instead of a grilled cheese, a grilled peanut butter and jelly? So,
Oh,
those are awesome.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
One of my faves. All right. As far as the draft class goes, you know, I'm going to go with Sarah. Like, I think Amari Rodgers is going to be outstanding. I don't care that I wasn't allowed to answer that. Like, I don't care. I'm sorry, Sam. You have peanut butter and mayonnaise on a burger. So I don't have to, I don't really have to take everything that you said into the question. So, but basically, every time I see him and I see the way he plays, all I can see is like a meme of Tyler Irvin, the upgrade button from Facebook or whatever on the meme is, and then another picture of Amari Rodgers. Like that's what I see, where it's just a souped up version of Tyler Irvin who can, you know, play wide receiver as well. So I'm really excited about him. I think he's going to be really, really outstanding in the Packers offense. So that is what I'm saying. And I have also never tried peanut butter and mayonnaise on a burger, and I don't think I ever will. Next up, Cole wants to know, how do you see Devin Funchess fitting into this wide receiver room? Could you see him competing for wide receiver 2 on this roster? Food question, how do you prefer your tacos? Hard shell, soft shell, walking, or a salad? Dusty, let's start with you. Where's Fun Fun sitting in this wide receiver room?
Man, you know, I don't see him fitting. I just based on kind of who they have, and the receivers are kind of complement each other. Like it's not even a knock on him necessarily. I mean, hasn't really played in 2 years. So, I mean, that's kind of part of it. Although from the basketball video a few months back, he's still in shape and willing to talk. I mean, right now the receivers are, it's Davante Adams. We know Davante Adams, MVS, who brings that element of speed. He's not going anywhere this year. Lazard, who does a really good job with, you know, in the kind of the run block and then also selling that for the pass game as well. He's not going anywhere. We just mentioned Amari Rodgers, who's going to slot in there. EQ, I'm not as big on EQ as I was before. But he brings a different element to the game than Funchess does. So, I mean, you can squint and you can say, you know, Funchess at wide receiver 4 if you want to. But even then, it's ahead of him would be Adams, MVS, Lazard, Rodgers. So Funchess at 5, I would say. Again, I mean, big guy can kind of go up and get a good ball, but he doesn't get a whole lot of separation, which is not necessarily what you're looking for. Does not block all that well and has kind of iffy hands and hasn't played in 2 years. So, I mean, and I don't know. I would love if he came in and just set everything on fire and okay. Yeah, no, he was missing in this offense, but just again, the skill set that he brings, I don't see a really huge role for him, and he's not going to play special teams. I can't imagine he's going to be a big special teamer. So I really don't see a spot for him on this team. I kind of was looking at it for a while and thinking I could, but I don't know. I hope he surprises me, but I don't see a spot for him. And how do I prefer my tacos? Soft shell, man. Soft shell all day, all day.
I kind of agree with you, Dusty. I was thinking about this and I'm like, I think he's a great football player, obviously, but I don't know if he will be a great football player for the Packers. Like based on the direction this offense was trending and the style of play that, you know, they really displayed the past year, especially, I'm like, I don't know if he really fits in that. But we'll see. I mean, if he turns out to be great and that's another, you know, weapon that they have, then awesome. Like I'm all for that. How do I prefer my tacos? Hard shell or soft shell? If I had to pick soft shell, but usually I try to do one of each, hard shell or soft shell, and soft shell.
Walking. You also had walking or salad.
Yeah, I saw that, but I immediately disregarded the salad.
She didn't say it on purpose.
I disregarded the salad. Walking is good. I used to eat that a lot when I was a kid, but to me, hard and soft or like our tacos.
Once you grew up and, you know, could get a real taco, you decided to do that. I see Devin Funchess as like an insurance policy on Alan Lazard at best right now. Like that's what they can use him as. Keep him in training camp. If Lazard goes down with an injury, knock on wood, you've got that big, tall receiver. He may not block and do all the things that Alan Lazard does, but it's still somebody who has experience in the NFL and is a competent wide receiver. But honestly, my best guess is he doesn't make the team. That is honestly that's what Packers fans should hope for, because if that's the case, then you're so unbelievably set at wide receiver that you don't need him. So, and then as far as tacos go, I would say soft shell carne asada, like back from living in Chicago, man, that was like my summertime jam was I'd go play softball and then I'd come home, and on the way home there was a place called Los Comales, and authentic carne asada with onion, cilantro, a little bit of lime, and I would order like 12 of them for me and my wife, and we'd each eat like six tacos. And it was afterwards, you'd sit there and be like, oh my God, I feel so awful. But it was also, I felt so amazing afterwards because they were so delicious. So yeah, soft shell all day. Dawn wants to know, only a food question. What are your thoughts on jardinière? I'll start and say I don't like it one bit. And then Dusty and Sarah, you guys can Google what it is and then tell us what you think.
No, I did look it up. I didn't know it was called that. Once I saw it, I knew what it was. I don't know that I have a strong opinion on either way. Like, I've had it and it's been fine, but I don't know that I'd ever, like, choose to put it on something, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't complain if I have it, but I also never go looking for it. So I guess I don't really have strong feelings.
Yeah, I have the picture of this up on my monitor right now, and I didn't know it by the name, but once I Googled it, I knew what it was. And it's going to be a no for me because I just got like an acid reflux flare up just staring at it. And I can't. I have a very weak stomach. So I'm a pass, but I could see where if you're into spicier foods, that might be something that's really
good. I mean, we've got a jar of it in my refrigerator. My wife loves it. She loves the spicy stuff and can find good ways to use it with other foods. I just, like, it's not, not for me, man.
Yeah, no, like, I'm like, it's not one of those things where I'm like, oh my God, no, not like.
It's no peanut butter and mayonnaise on a burger.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just like, not for me, you know, not for everybody. And I'm one of those people.
All right, let's end with a fun one. Our good friend Sean Franken always brings some questions, so we all enjoyed this one. Let's say that Rodgers' demands don't involve money at all. They involve Oreos. He wants a lifetime supply. He wants them in the locker room. He wants them at concession stands. He wants them on the sidelines. What flavor of Oreos is he demanding? Dusty, let's start with you.
Seems like a double stuff, man, doesn't he? I mean, I was gonna throw my own on it and say peanut butter Oreos, but which, you know, my number one overall pick in our draft day cookie draft a few weeks back over our game on Wisconsin. But I don't know. I think Rodgers seems like just a double stuff guy, like just a steady supply of those. Man, I can't imagine like going to the sideline after like a grueling series and just be like, just give me those Oreos. That sounds terrible, but I'd also like to see it, and I think it's double stuff.
So I actually did some research on this.
Only thing that Sarah researched for this podcast.
And apparently, Aaron Rodgers likes very simple desserts, require no heat to make, anything like that. So since it seems like he's a simple dessert guy, I'm going to go with just the classic Oreo. That is also my favorite. You can never go wrong with it. And I think he just wants that consistency from the Packers, right? He wants them to be there and to believe in him. And I think that the
What happened during Sarah's answer?
Original Oreos have those qualities. So that's what I'm going with.
And to shock no one that listens to this podcast previously, I'm going to disagree with both of them. And the way that he is acting, the way that Aaron Rodgers is behaving now, indicates that he's either going he's not that guy. He's not a most of Oreo guy ever.
No, I was thinking you were gonna say golden.
Oh yeah, no, he's gonna go with the Lady Gaga one.
No, this is the path though. Aaron Rodgers goes one of two ways. He either goes with a very limited edition Oreo that is unbelievably difficult to find and makes the Packers' lives living hell because they need to have Oreos all over the place. And if they have to find these limited edition ones, it's just a pain in the ass. So it's either that way or the other way is he's snarky and Aaron Rodgers and will go with one that he knows that nobody likes, where he would go with a golden Oreo, or he would go with like whatever, you know, like the Peeps Oreo, just to be a snarky, you know, D-bag pretty much, of like laughing and while drinking his scotch, be like, ha, I made everybody eat Peeps Oreos. It was hilarious. Like, I could see both of those avenues being going down, just the way that this whole like contract negotiation is going right now. So that that is where I think that this kind of goes with Aaron Rodgers and Oreos at this point. But that will do it. That's all of our questions, guys. It's holy crap, we've been going for almost an hour. Okay, so it is time to wrap it up. But it was a lot of fun getting back. Thank you guys for all the questions, as always. Always love answering you guys on Twitter, but that's at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Keller 4, at Steve Perhatch, and at Packaday Podcast. So, again, make sure you guys are following us there. Guys, let's do some closing thoughts. Sarah, what's going on in your world?
So, in our time off from the podcast, I discovered and watched what I think is my new favorite show of all time. And that is Ted Lasso.
Yes.
I am obsessed with Ted Lasso. I loved it from start to finish. And I'm so excited that there is a season 2. If you have Apple TV, highly recommend watching this show. Jason Sudeikis is incredible. And you think it's just going to be, you know, this funny show, which it is, but then you just grow such a love for the characters and the whole storyline, and it's incredible. 10 out of 10. I really do think it could be my new favorite show ever. Like, I am obsessed and 100% in love with Ted Lasso. So that's that. That's my big breaking news for this week.
Yeah, Ted Lasso is great, man.
Feel free to share an Apple password, and I'd be more than happy to watch that show.
Yeah, it's really way more fun than any show based on a commercial character from 10 years ago should be. There's no reason for that show to work, and it's incredible. Yeah, and for me, I've been, you know, spending my off season. I was looking for an off season project, and I found one. You know, kind of going through some older plays and trying to, some of it giving some history, some giving context behind it. And I've been taking a couple weeks on each one, so every 2 weeks. So I'm not quite ready to say what the next one's going to be. I'm kind of still working on that right now. But I've done so far. I've done 4, I guess. I did a big piece on The Sweep, a big piece on Favre to Horizon in Super Bowl 31. I did a big piece on Greg Jennings' second touchdown in the Super Bowl, and last week was Willie Wood's interception and the blitz that led to it, and the whole kind of like pressure hitting Lombardi, which led to a conservative game plan in the first half of Super Bowl I. So really, really fun series. Like I said, my next one's coming out next week, but it's been fun. I've been able to take my time with it a little bit, since I'm just doing one every 2 weeks, and digging into history a little bit, and kind of, you know, digging into some of these players and looking at it from an angle I've not really looked at these plays before. So been a really fun offseason. Been a really great project. It seems like it's been going well so far, which has been awesome. But yeah, it's been a blast. I took a break and did a little bit for the draft after the draft, but really probably my favorite off-season project I've ever done. I'm really excited.
Very cool, very cool. And for me, I'm just honestly, I'm excited that we're back and recording again. It's just, you know, the 5-6 week hiatus was, it's very good. Like, I think, like, it was a nice break. It was, you know, for doing a podcast every single week for what, like 45 weeks straight, like that's a lot. Like, it's a lot. And I, you know, I love you guys, but it can be a little toll, you know, a little taxing after all, because I don't know if you've listened to this, but Dusty's kind of a pain in the ass, and he's unrelenting on me. So, but no, it was a good break, but I'm really excited to get back into this. I'm really excited to talk Packers football, and especially if Aaron Rodgers is back. Like, it's an exciting, exciting time for the Packers, hopefully making another Super Bowl run. So, yeah, that's all I got. But, we will be back next week. We'll talk, I'm sure, some more Aaron Rodgers drama. And then after that, we'll take some fan questions. We'll just jump into whatever you guys want to talk about. So excited to be back. And 1 week from now, we'll be buzzing in your ears again. So Thank you guys for listening. As always, make sure you are downloading, subscribing wherever you can. 5-star reviews are, as always, very welcome. On Twitter, again, Dusty Evely, at Sarah Keller, for at C. Kerhatch, and at Packaday Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, go Pack, go.